due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
I mean, Plan B, I like Plan B. Seth Rollins is great, but every time Seth Rollins is going to try to cash in that Money in the Bank briefcase, Dean Ambrose is going to stop him. Which is why, Triple H, I think the authority has the uncomfortable decision right now to agree with me that you need to make the dangerous choice of implementing Plan C.
Hello, this is Mankind hanging out with my good friends. What the hell are your names? Richie Rich, the Authority, and Dude Love, and you're a listener to 1280 WHTK, the Pain Clinic. It's a pro wrestling talk show. Damn it.
The time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Wrestling fans, good morning, Rochesterians. Welcome to the Pain Clinic for July 26th. Here comes the plane. I love that we get a flyover every Saturday. All right, welcome to the Pain Clinic. Holidays today, real quick, it's All or Nothing Day and Aunt and Uncle Day. So, I don't know. Birthdays today, real quick. Former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Tommy Wildfire Rich is 58 today. And Ring of Honor's Roderick Strong, I believe, turns 31 today. Uh-oh. Panklick's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned. I can't remember his moniker.
No comment.
Okay. Panklick's brought to you by Salvador's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight Empire at Culver. Join us for WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view August 17th at Salvator's at the Garage Door, 149 East Ridge Road. We'll be hosting it. Hopefully you'll be able to hear me on the microphone this time. Prizes and drink specials all night long. That's WWE's SummerSlam pay-per-view August 17th at Salvator's at the Garage Door. And I want to thank everybody who came out last week for WWE's
Battleground.
I think it was Battleground. Yeah, it's like I can't forget it because it's almost like it's like Raw two nights in a row sometimes when I'm watching these pay-per-view now. So the way they're stacked, but it was a really cool pay-per-view. Battleground. We got to see nothing too surprising, I guess. It was, you know, everything is, you know, keeping the cool, you know, keeping staying the same, we'll say. It didn't change that much except for now we have a new intercontinental champion after the Battle Royale. But thank you guys for coming out. It was a lot of fun. We had a blast. And you can also join us if you want August 30th for UFC 177 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Once again, it's 149 East Ridge Road at 10 p.m. start time for WWE paper. Or sorry, 10 p.m. start time for UFC pay-per-views, 8 p.m. start time for WWE pay-per-views. We'll be there. There'll be prizes and drink specials all night long. UFC 177 at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. And let's talk a little bit. We got a special guest on today. I'm going to introduce the cast. I am the Cash Man, Richie Rich. I am here with the Artiste. How are you doing this morning, Mr. Artiste?
Good morning. I'm good. Happy birthday, Mom. There's no donuts. I need some food in here, some coffee.
Yeah, I know. I didn't smell anything when I walked in. It's like it's a food-free week. You know, after last weekend, we had everything was crazy. We're also joined by Mr. Mark Fantasia. He's our musical director of the Pain Clinic. We haven't seen you in a while, Mark. You know, thank you for coming out, brother.
It's been rough. I've missed being here, and I want to say happy birthday to Mama Artiste.
Yeah, happy birthday, Mama Artiste. All right, to Mama Teast. All right, very cool. Let's talk a little bit. We got a special guest in the next segment. If you have a question or a comment you want to get in, 222-1280, *1280 is the number. You can even text us at 222-1280 and put a 585 if you're outside the area. You can text us questions. We have Mick Foley joining us. He's going to be this Tuesday at the Funny Bone in Syracuse, as well as a week from tomorrow at Helium Comedy Club in Buffalo. And we're going to talk to him, catch up with him a little bit. We haven't talked to him since January, since he was in town. So it's been a while. Almost 8 months, so we definitely want to talk. We're going to talk to him in the next segment. But before we get too far, let's talk about the pay-per-view last week. Once again, Battleground, pretty cool pay-per-view. Something kind of controversial came out of it, and I heard it when I was at the pay-per-view, and I wasn't sure I was hearing what I was hearing, but apparently Lana and Rusev, she came out and cut a promo, and she kind of almost alluded to what was going on over in the Ukraine right now. You know, with a downed plane and stuff. She didn't say it specifically, but, you know, she said with our problems, you know, in the East or whatever. And a lot of people put two and two together and really came out and said, I can't believe WWE is trying to make money against the tragedy that's going on, which I don't think was their intent. I know if you can watch it back on YouTube or you can read back, it's not specific like that. There's lots of problems that they're going on in there. You know, with the Ukrainian separation from, or, you know, in Russian trying to reabsorb Ukraine. So there's lots of things going on she could have been referring to. But, I mean, okay.
Okay, so that's not going to make them money. What she says in a promo is not going to, like, sell tickets or merchandise or anything like that. That being said, what she said, they knew exactly what they were doing. To follow that up then also with Vladimir Putin up on the screen and stuff, they knew exactly what they were doing. I don't know. I think it was ill-timed. I think there is a line that wrestling gets to cross or push, I should say, often. That's a line you don't cross.
Well, they've had some problems in the past crossing that line, and they immediately nix what happens pretty much pretty quick. Nix storylines. Nick's everything that's, you know, involved with that. And I almost felt, Mark, did you get a chance to see what we're talking about?
I did. I agree with Rob about that. It's a line that got crossed. But, I mean, they flash Vladimir Putin's face every week. So, I mean, they're just kind of going along with the storyline and with the character. If nothing else, it puts more heat and makes better. I'm not sure. I think that it's a line that got crossed, but I'm not upset about it, I guess.
Well, I kind of think they kind of remedied it the next night by when she kind of come out to cut a promo before Rusev's match with the Great Khali, before she could say maybe two words, and none in English, out starts Khali's music and just muffles her completely. And I think maybe that's the way to remedy the situation. I don't think it was. I mean, you say you think it was done intentionally. You know, it's just a terrible. And you're right, they're not making any money on this. I mean, if anything, they're getting more press coverage because of it, because there was a lot of people who were not wrestling fans who were commenting on Twitter, who were commenting, you know, online about it. So.
And the thing is, probably a lot of those people have no idea what Lana and Rusev have been doing for months now. I mean, this exactly. is a storyline that has been going on well before the current events. But when you say current events, we know what you're referring to. If you don't know what they're referring to, then you should watch a little bit more news coverage. But they knew what they were doing. I'm not extremely upset about it, but I do think they crossed the line.
Yeah.
And that's speaking as somebody who I usually feel like I'm one of the last people to complain about wrestling crossing the line. I wish wrestling would cross the line more, but that is something you don't reference.
Oh yeah,
that's different.
So hopefully, you know, I just hope it doesn't get dropped, because I really like what he's doing. I really like. I mean, Rusev is—he is an incredible wrestler. I mean, even though people claim he's, you know, his stature's not that high, you know, he's not a tall guy, but man, he can do everything in that ring. If you've seen some of the matches he's in, he can do everything. I mean, he is a very talented wrestler, and I would hate to see anything he does get, you know, abbreviated because of some stupid line in a promo on a pay-per-view.
Well, kind of the same to Jack Swagger. Now, he got kind of pushed off to the side, wasn't even on Raw, if I'm not mistaken. And that stinks for him, because it was actually a really good feud. I was really liking it, and I felt like the crowd was really eating into it, and Swagger was getting over.
He is, and the thing is, but he's also been on the losing end, I think, of every time they've... And, I mean, that's what he's there for, is to propel Rusev up the ladder.
But he only lost by a count out of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and that, but then he got killed after that with the camel clutch or whatever they call his finisher there, and he just, that's why they explained he wasn't on TV Monday, is because he was hurt.
Basically what it comes down to is Jack Swagger needs a tour bus and he needs to body slam Rusev any day now. We're past July 4th. SummerSlam's coming up at least. So get the Swagger Express going and let's do this thing.
The Swagger
Express.
Need to
find a better name.
Thank you.
Yeah. Lex Express. So what would it be?
Yeah.
Swagger Wagon.
So are you just insinuating that this is a completely copied storyline from back when Yokozuna, nobody could slam him?
No, it's a little different. And to be honest, like I'm somebody that for the most part isn't a huge fan of really large wrestlers matches, but I'm really enjoying Rusev's matches.
Yeah,
you can't pay me enough to watch a great Khali match normally or things like that, but Rusev's matches are fantastic. So I like what they're doing overall with that. We'll get past the one mention in the promo. I mean, it was, I can't say innocent, but it was just to mention the word current events. Just to mention that is fine or whatever. We'll move past it. Please don't let that kill the whole storyline, though, because Jack Swagger is over like Rover, and this program needs to carry through to SummerSlam.
And the artiste is a poet, and he didn't know it.
Yeah.
All right. I love it, too. And I really, like I said, I think Rusev's a great wrestler, and I'm enjoying his work in the ring. I mean, he looks great every time he's out there. I just am totally impressed with the guy who can get that high up for a drop kick, the shape he's in, And I mean, not that he's in bad shape, but he's just like a giant muscle, very strong character. So I'm enjoying that a lot. And hopefully, like you said, hopefully it doesn't get truncated. Now we got a couple more quick mentions before we go to break, and we'll get Mick Foley on the flip side. Sting at Comic-Con makes his first WWE appearance this past week. Sting and Hogan was with him, as well as Paulie Heyman and Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
And they did an autograph signing, but it also looked like they were doing a little talking to the crowd, one of those things that they do at Comic-Con, And it was very cool seeing Sting he was in his makeup. He was the only one decked out in his wrestling gear. Everybody else was dressed like... Well, Heyman always dresses in a suit, but it didn't really look like that. It looked like he wasn't ready to wrestle. He's just there as Sting, and I think it was really great. He made a lot of great comments, and hopefully, with WWE mentioning him during the past week, that hopefully we're going to see maybe him in the ring. I mean, he wants to be in the ring. He looks like he's in great shape. He can wrestle. He can.
I get nervous because everybody thinks it's going to be Sting and Undertaker, and I really. At this point, let's please not see another Undertaker match.
Well, when Mick Foley joins us next, and Undertaker came to his show last week, so maybe we can ask him what he thought about the Undertaker's shape.
Segway City.
Yeah, 2-2-2-12-8. One last mention before we go to break. Flow Ride.
No.
Fast forward.
I could lip sync better than him.
Flow Ride. I don't know. I think he put on a good show. I just don't like him.
What? No, you do not. Seriously?
I just don't.
That was terrible.
Now I question everything you think about
that
wrestling.
That was terrible.
I don't like him punking out my man, wrestlers. I don't dig that,
Heath Slater, that was such a waste of time.
Yeah.
Even, again, as somebody who has been outspoken against Raw being 3 hours long, that still was a waste of time.
Yeah, it was.
I would have rather they put the camera up on the ceiling for 10 minutes.
At least when Kid Rock did it during WrestleMania, all the diva, all the divas came out and surrounded him as he sang.
I think any musical performance in WWE history is probably better than that.
But of anything that happened on Raw, I mean, the arrest, all these things, the naming of the contender. You went to Florida?
Well, I think the arrest was lame. I mean, I've seen it before.
Sweet. Here's a hit song that he doesn't even really sing or do anything, and that was from 3 years ago. Cool.
Sure. It's the same one he played at WrestleMania 28. So it was like,
get some new material flow.
I'd like to see him wrestle. Maybe he'll wrestle Heath Slater. You think he'll build a matchup between him and Heath Slater now? I mean, he looks like he's got a good physique, I don't know.
Yeah, it worked for Kevin Federline.
No, let's not bring Flo Rida.
All right, 222-1280 star, 12 is the number. We got Mick Foley on the flip side. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280 WHTK.
You're gonna have a car. conversation about the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, I think my name belongs in it. Because last time I checked, nobody wants to see John Cena versus Kane. And don't nobody want to see Randy Orton versus John Cena again. It sounds like to me everybody wants to see John Cena versus Roman Reigns.
Austin, you created option C. And ever since you did, every wrestler that's cashed in has become world heavyweight champion. So what you have in your hands right now is a winning lottery ticket.
And it wasn't so long ago that the Wyatt family entered a WWE ring for the very first time. And in our short reign of terror, we have dismantled giants. We have destroyed monsters. And most importantly of all, we have brought so-called heroes to their knees. And I ask you right now, Chris Jericho, just who in the hell is it you really think you're dealing with, man?
Hello, this is Mick Foley, author of several children's books, and you are listening to The Pain Clinic, a wrestling talk show, 1280 WHTK. Yeah!
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man. I'm here with the Artiste and Mark Fantasia. Of course, Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, Hot Tub of Love. You know how that goes, folks. Real quick before we get to our guests, I want you to know The Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service and Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver. Join us for WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view August 17th at Salvatore's at the Garage Door, 149 Eastridge Road. Hosted by us, prizes and drink specials all night long. That's WWE SummerSlam pay-per-view August 17th at Salvatore's at the Garage Door. Joining us right now is a WWE Hall of Famer. And this Tuesday, July 29th, he's at the Funny Bone in Syracuse for a 7:30 show. And Sunday, August 3rd, 1 week from tomorrow, he's in Buffalo at 2 p.m., an afternoon show at the Helium Comedy Club. Let's welcome Mick Foley back to the Rochester Airwaves and the Pain Clinic. Thanks for the time today, Mick.
Well, I appreciate that. It's probably been about a year since I've been on, right?
Well, when you were here in January, we talked to you.
Oh, January.
Yeah, that's okay.
I was there in January. What was I doing in January?
You were at the
comedy. Oh, that's right. I was in Rochester in January. Oh, man.
That's right.
What a booking fiasco that was. I mean, just the idea of booking a loop that starts in Cleveland and goes to Erie and Rochester and ends up in Buffalo. I escaped. Actually Toronto, and then I flew out of Buffalo. I was dodging 3 feet of snow by like one day everywhere I went, and I just thought, man, that was some foolish booking. You know, like the shows turned out good, and I think you guys enjoyed yourselves.
We certainly did.
You can vouch for me. That's a pretty good night out, right?
It was excellent. We had such a great time. You're so funny, and of course, we all met. You know, all the guys in the show. Most of the guys in the show missed Edge on Friday night when you were in town. You know, we all came Saturday. It's like, yeah, you know, and it's like, you know, we didn't expect to see Edge again, but we did definitely. You know, but the show was fantastic. We had a great time. Sold out crowd. It was just a great. We hope you come back to Rochester again for.
I'm sure. Sure, I will. You know, we'll probably do the same thing in the spring of 2015 and do an entire weekend. And that was another valuable lesson I learned is there's this, it's this legendary, it's not a myth, it's mythical, but the Friday Night Late Show carries with it this just like, there's this atmosphere of gloom with it, and I had forgotten. Most of the shows I do are on off nights. Like, you know, I'm doing here a Tuesday night, a Sunday night, Wednesday, Thursday. That's kind of been my role is drawing pretty good crowds and nights when clubs wouldn't even be open. So I'm not used to doing the Fridays, Saturdays, and there are some comics who just flat out won't do a late night show on a Friday night. They don't care if it's sold out, and the reason being, it just kind of sucks from your soul. It's a soul-sucking experience. It was, and we went out and we killed, you know, the Friday night went really well, the early show. Edge came out, and not realizing you know, just the perpetual gloom of the Friday night late show. I went out, you know, and I just thought I had some fun. I said, ladies and gentlemen, Edge. And people popped because they'd seen people leaving the last show. Go, oh, my God, it was great. Edge was here. Was here. He's not here now. He left. And like 5 minutes into the show, I go, there he goes. Thanks, Edge. And they saw him walking out. And it was just a miserable show. One guy just kept on yelling out some stupid stuff, is what people do when they had a few drinks. And so I didn't kick him out, but I had the club owner personally take him and sit him down to the New York chapter president of the Hells Angels, where he was not heard from again. Don't get me wrong, he's still with us. He just wasn't nearly as vocal. He was very well behaved the rest of the night. But, yeah, I'll probably be back in spring of 2015. But we hope some people will take the drive to either Syracuse or Buffalo to see me this summer.
I mean, that's got to be annoying when fans are like that at comedy shows. It's a pretty common thing. But at least in intimate venues like that, I mean, you really, it's not exactly always PG. I know you try not to swear out there and stuff. But, you have a great opportunity to get these people back. I mean, that's got to be one nice thing about stand-up. Somebody makes an ass out of themselves in the crowd, and you can just go right after them.
Well, I mean, there's some guys really tear into people with relish. It's not really my gimmick. What I will try to do, and I don't want people to think that it's a case of people, you know, just, you know, yelling out things. Is for the most part, the audience are great, you know, and they're really respectful. Especially, you know, on the off nights where people have one or two drinks and not overdo it. And I've learned the best way to deal with it is just to be honest and kind of make the person feel bad about themselves for, you know, ruining the experience for other people around them. Because if you engage with the heckler, they then begin to think they're part of the show, and that becomes even worse. I will say, I just did the Gathering of the Juggalos, and you go in, you're just in survival mode, you know. You know, it's not quite the same as if, you know, you're not expecting it to be a hushed crowd. So you, it's like a match. You work it a little bit differently. You don't go into a, you know, you don't pause for dramatic effect. You just get through it. And we had a pretty good time, but this one person just kept on yelling on a megaphone, just random stuff.
And how did Jimmy Hart get in there?
What's that?
How did Jimmy Hart get in there?
I eventually made that comment, but I finally stopped and I said, I'm about to walk out there, and then I use like a rock, you know, a rockism for what I would do with that microphone and turning it sideways. And I said, sir, do you at least have a decent stand up so I can see who you are? And then the person stood up, you know, kind of like a sad case. And I went, oh, man, I said, Mother Nature has obviously already dealt with you pretty severely. So,
one too many
no
fagos.
Reason for me to inflict further harm. And then I heard this yelling, like, and I was like, what? Oh, it's not a guy?
Oh, boy.
And so it was like, that was worse than anything I could have said maliciously, was mistaking. And then apparently she flashed her boobs, which fortunately I missed. And then I went, oops, sorry, dude. I mean, miss. And then she got a nice pop on the megaphone where she went, you are forgiven.
That's good.
So we escaped it, but that's not the atmosphere I'm looking for in Syracuse or Buffalo. It'll be a lot more intimate and more polite.
Very cool. Now, I just saw that you're over both a million followers on Facebook and Twitter. And when we had you back on in January, you're about 800 and some odd thousand on both. So seems like you've had quite the spike in the last 6 months.
Really? In January, I thought it was way down in Facebook. Because I think we've added like half a million in the last 6 months or so.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think it was maybe 700,000, but I know that you're way over like 1.4 mil or 1.2 mil now, so it's...
Oh, not quite in that area yet.
Okay.
Over a million. I think I'm a 1.1 on Twitter and just past a million on Facebook. I was ready to abandon Facebook. I didn't understand it at all, and fortunately one of the Santa Claus, I Am Santa Claus movie producers is a marketing guy. And he kind of took me under his wing and works with me, you know, in an official capacity and taught me, like, you know, the value of these posts. And it's made a big difference, especially as far as, you know, advertising locally and the kind of pinpointing your demographic so that you're, you know, hopefully drawing a crowd without spending too much money. You can't, if I were to advertise the traditional way on, you know, print and radio and TV, you couldn't possibly make any money. So, you know, I've had to adapt, you know. Like, I long for those days when I just used to walk out with a book under my arm and that was enough. But in order to do these shows, which I really do enjoy, you know, it was necessary to, you know, to kind of learn the social media stuff.
I think, you know, I was going to say, I love your Facebook post. You have a flair now for the 2 to 3 paragraph posts. but I love your thoughts on the business. I love the last one you just did about Zach Ryder.
That was
it was so to the point and so true, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I think on one hand, you know, like the 3,500-word essay is kind of dead, you know, as far as social media is concerned. You can always put a link to something longer. But you kind of learn, like you said, to make your point. I think that thing, the article about Zach was just a couple hundred words long. And it made, in a very concise way, made some really relevant points. And, you know, you can see when people are taken to something by, you know, the likes and the comments and the shares. And I think in that case I was saying something that a lot of people had thought, you know, and a lot of people, you know, obviously, you know, had voiced on the internet, but the voices weren't coming from people in the company. But it is, as much as I love the business and much as I love WWE, the idea that it's very subjective is one of the toughest things to deal with. You know, that it's not baseball where if you hit 300, you know, for the Red Wings, you are you're moving up, you're moving up to the majors. Really subjective, and that's got to be one of the toughest things, I think, for one of the guys, because everyone who makes it to WWE, you know, whether it's developmental or to the main roster, has to have a belief in themselves. You know, like you just don't make it without that self-confidence that you belong there, and so everyone rightfully feels like they deserve a shot. And the truth is, like, there's only so many spots. And finding out who belongs in those top spots is really difficult. Like, I don't envy WWE for having to find ways to feature so many guys. But I think in the case of Zack Ryder, as I said, WWE kind of took a guy who really was over and found a way to convince people that he wasn't over. And I don't know if it was done maliciously, you know. But and I don't think it was. I think it was a decision based on a mysterious set of criteria only known by Mr. McMahon. Ultimately, I think the decision was made that he didn't have it, whereas although so many people, you know, in the WWE universe, voice their opinion with their likes and follows and purchase of merchandise and chance that he did have it. So it was I appreciate that you guys enjoyed the piece and that so many people did. And it's something that I felt like I had to talk about and had been on my mind for a long time. With that being said, I will let you guys talk a little bit.
Okay, I was going to say, well, no, I've noticed that your Facebook posts have evolved in, like, the last 6 months or so. And also your relationship with WWE has kind of evolved or maybe de-evolved in the last 6 months. And maybe that has something to do with maybe the increase in the Facebook people coming, because you're talking a little bit more. I'm not saying it's not safe, but, I mean, you know, you're critiquing things that a lot of times people would get in trouble for critiquing.
You know, from what I'm told, it's not the critiquing that got me in trouble. It was publicly airing my displeasure with the Legends deal. And I can understand that because, you know, I'm clearly stating that I thought we were underpaid. And I can understand from a company standpoint how having a guy like me airing that publicly would anger some people. So I'm just going to look at this down period as a potential but, you know, as a potential moment for healing, you know, down the line.
Sure.
So, yeah, I understand. But, I mean, I did reach out, you know, and say, hey, I'll sign it for a spot, you know, a Santa figure at a spot on the Exotic Express. And then I said, hey, I'll sign it for a spot on the Exotic Express. And I reached out to WWE, and I told them I was in Boston the night before the pay-per-view doing my shows, which was booked months before I even knew that WWE was there. Invited them there and said, hey, let me know if you want me to do anything pre or post show. And when they didn't get back to me, I just thought, okay, it's time to let's, you know, it is probably best to let some time go by, and maybe someone will reach out in, you know, later on this year.
And they probably will. I mean, you're such a legend in the business and everything. And I think also, I mean, but, you know, do you feel it's kind of a slam that Barrett was doing your move and they wouldn't even mention your name?
That seemed a little foolish.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, on commentary, you know, one of JBL's charms is that he mentions, you know, obscure figures from the 50s.
us old guys who get it, yeah.
Yeah, and then they've got, you know, their Intercontinental Champion, you know, doing the move of one of their own Hall of Famers, and they won't acknowledge it. And if it's an inside joke, like, to bother me, that's not good for business, because there are, you know, I mean, I don't know, millions, but certainly thousands upon thousands of people going, why aren't they acknowledging that he's doing, you know, Mick Foley's move? It's meant as a tribute. I mean, you know, they used to, before it was the Yes Lock, you know, they, you know, they, it was called the LaBelle Lock. Certainly, if you can pay homage to a guy that 99.9% of the universe has never seen wrestle, you could pay homage to a guy that the majority of people are familiar with.
Sure, and went to your Hall of, wasn't, you know, was active in your company 6 months ago and went to your Hall of Fame a year and a half ago.
Yeah, and you know what? But with that being said, I'm really grateful to the company for, you know, featuring For All Mankind and the network. And, you know, despite, you know, some of the problems they're running into with the network, I think it is good for guys like me, because the network has given a lot of the audience a chance, you know, to say, oh, I see what the big deal is. You know, is when I would show up in the ill-fitting sports coat. It's quite possible that newer fans went, what is the big deal about this guy? And then they would watch and go, oh, I get it now. So thank you, WWE, for you know, allowing people to reach that conclusion.
I must say, with the network, for me personally, I was such a WWF guy in the 90s that I've enjoyed going back and watching some of the early 90s WCW Cactus Jack stuff myself that I missed out on during my childhood. I wanted to ask, we see so many second generation, even third generation wrestlers. With what you've done in wrestling and what you see other families in wrestling doing, you have four children. Is there any chance we would ever see a second generation wrestler or comedian or author?
Yeah, I think my daughter would make for a great personality on the show, like a roving backstage reporter. She's got quite a following herself, and I'll tell you, like, she'll put something out there at the same time I do, and she will often get more retweets than I do.
Uh-oh.
Like, the people who follow her really follow her. You know, she's actually got, like, her own T-shirt coming out on Monday for a one-day purchase on Top Rope Tuesday. And I'm like, man, I didn't get my own T-shirt until I'd been in the business, you know, 6 years. But, you know, I think people follow my daughter, and, you know, she's funny, and she's very sweet, and they genuinely like her, and I think she'd be a nice presence on the show. Like, that's an idea down the line. So I'm certainly, and I would love for my, like, my son is a sports marketing, he graduated in sports marketing, and I'd love for him to work for WWE. You know, he'd rather work for the NBA or Major League Baseball or something like that, and I'd love for my son, who loves, you know, is really good at video, to be on the, you know, the production side. So it's a great, great company. I'd be proud to have my kids working there, but not sure anyone will actually be in ring.
It's funny, as my son graduated with a sports marketing degree too, and he's still looking for a gig though.
Yeah, it's hard. My son is Dewey, you know, is waiting for that call from one of the NBA teams to make him the general manager. And I tell that that might be a little bit lofty, you know, like you might need to start somewhere else.
Well, you have a friend up here in Rochester who might be able to help him out.
Yeah, I know it. I know it. Yeah, I got to talk some sense into that kid.
All right, so we're going to let you go, but I appreciate the time. I one quick mention, you're going to be on Steve Austin's podcast soon. He had posted earlier this week about it. Now, I love Steve Austin's podcast. So hopefully you're on the family-friendly one so everybody can listen to it. Because he's got two of them, and one of them is not so family-friendly. But
well, my stuff's always family-friendly. You guys, if I may, you know, like, can I just, you know, put it out there to sure. The wrestling fans? You guys said you had a great time. It is a wrestling-centric storytelling show. It's not me telling one-liners. And my gimmick is I only drop the one F-bomb. And so it's like the diamond cutter. Like, I'll only do it once, but it can come out of nowhere. And I set it up a different way. So that's what I want. You know, people can track me down across the country, and I'll find different ways to go into my F-bomb. And so I know a show has gone well when I hit the F-bomb and I get a standing ovation. So that's my goal, is to, like, set up the show so that when I hit my finish, it's so devastating that it gets a... To get a standing ovation for an F-bomb, you've done something right during the course of the show.
I can't forget when I heard it. We've seen you a few times. We saw you in Syracuse about a year ago, and then in Rochester a couple of times. And I remember what it was, the whole story it led up to. Very, 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 very funny.
Well, that was the German guy, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, okay. Where did I do that one?
You did that in Syracuse. That's where okay. I remember definitely seeing that in Syracuse. That was the one.
All right, so, then how did I go into it in Rochester?
I'm trying to remember now.
Was that the match with Edge? The conversation with Kane?
Yes.
All right, yeah. So I will...
flop him or something. I still, that story is precious, the German one. I mean, that's just... it's something we could never say on the air, but it definitely is.
Yeah, that's... That's a little bluer than I usually work, but it is fun. You know, that's hilarious. Break that story out. Only the first part of it for the Juggalos.
Yeah.
And even at that point, because nothing I have said previously is sexually oriented, that when I do hit people with that story and that first, you know, reference comes, it comes kind of out of the blue. And it's good. Yeah, it's good to have a little shock value. You know, like it reminds you really, the reason I love it is, feels like being in the ring, you know, especially when it's going well. It gives me the same sense of fulfillment without the obviously physical fallout
sure.
that accompanied my matches.
I was going to say, also, the guy you're with, you know, might be in the number one movie this week coming out, too, when I believe. In the German story, I believe he was with you. You never saw you know, so... Well, okay, I'm going to ask one last thing. Ever thought of doing a Mick Foley podcast?
You know, I have thought of it. I said I was a better guest than I am a host, but, you know, I was mentioned to you my daughter is she's got a really effervescent personality, and I mentioned to her, hey, and this is coming from something WWE had asked me to do a while back when things were a little better. This is like post, you know, Daniel Bryan, Royal Rumble criticism, which is why I don't think the heat I have now is based on criticism of the show. They had asked me if I would do a weekly rundown for WWE.com. And the only reason I didn't do it is I didn't know the technology. I just didn't know how to do the Dropbox. You know, I guess if I had a mentor, I could have learned it. But one idea I do have is to do a show with my daughter, you know, like 10-15 minute show, you know, a week, where we wrap things up, and that way, you know, we have guests on, but it's kind of a conversation, a fun conversation about the show and what we enjoyed, what we didn't, and you usually keep it positive. You guys notice I'm actually largely positive on my post. It's just the negative ones that get the attention. And the reason they get the attention is I don't go negative very often. So,
sure.
Like today's post will be a positive post about the rejuvenation of the Miz character, you know, which I'm really enjoying. But anyway, answer your question. I have thought about it. Don't know how to do it. I'm limited technologically, so I literally need somebody to take me by the hand.
Well, I'm
not
talking
figuratively.
I'm shocked.
We need someone.
I'm shocked Steve Austin can do it. I mean,
I'm sure he has somebody like telling him which, you know, like I'm sure he needed a little refresher course in order to learn it. But apparently, once you do it, it's pretty easy. So, yeah, I'm going to stop by his house when I'm in California. I've got the one night off and a, you know, 9-day road trip, and I believe we'll have a really, really cool conversation.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. And I was going to ask you one little last one. Sting's back in WWE. You have a lot of history with him. You hoping he's going to do well, or do you think it's just going to be kind of maybe a one match and done with them or something?
I have no idea. I don't know what it entails. I know that photo I saw of Sting and Hulk and Daniel Bryan and one other guy.
Paul Heyman,
yeah, ECW guy, WWE guy, WCW guy, Ring of Honor guy. Was a cool photo, you know. And but I don't know. I have no idea what his deal entails. You know, I mean, I think it's great that he's finally here. And I believe, yeah, he's got at least, you know, one real big marquee match left in him.
Very, very cool. I'll let people know. Thank you for your time, Mick, first of all. And, folks, you can see Mick locally this Tuesday, July 29th. He's at the Funny Bone in Syracuse for a 7:30 show. And Sunday, August 3rd, he's in Buffalo. That's a week from tomorrow. It's a 2 p.m. afternoon show at Helium, which is pretty cool. Get in an afternoon show, and then your night's free. So I want to thank you for the time so much. And hopefully you'll be coming back to Rochester soon, even if it's just for a ball game or something, you know?
It is for Weigel's trash plate.
That's
you know?
Right. Oh, yeah. There you go. Our signature in the world. You know? But so thank you so much for the time today, Mick. And best of luck. And enjoy your Canadian venture, too, because in between those two dates, he's going to be all through Canada. So.
All right. Have a great show.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Have a great day. Thanks, Mick. All right. 222-1280, star 1280. You want to give us a call? We got to go to break. Awesome, awesome. Sunday, definitely going to be there. 222-1280, star 1280. We'll be back after these most important messages. You're listening to Pain Clinic on Sports 1280, WHTK.
You're all about what's best for business. Well, I made a business decision. As of right now, I'm no longer a Heyman guy. I want to be your guy.
Hey, look, he already has a guy, all right?
You?
Yeah, me. You don't have... Oh, we don't need
you. Okay, all right. This is uncomfortable.
You see, all I see is the great fraud. A joke, a has-been. A washed-up, quote-unquote, wannabe legend. See, you can have Sonata food all you want, but me, all I see is another man coming into a company that my body helped build since day one.
Joy, family comes first, okay? It's my wife, the mother of my children. She's sitting in jail right now. This is an important lesson, all right? Family always comes first. It's my wife, for God's sake. And she's going to have to get processed, though, right?
What is that doing?
I mean, the lawyers are headed there. We got time.
Hey, this is Tony, Mr. USA Atlas, and you are listening to the Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show on 1280 WHTK. Listen in, Daddy. Pain.
Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cashman here with the artiste, Mark Fantasia, and you. And we're brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight. Empire at Culver. Isn't it funny to find out that Mick Foley's son graduated with the same degree my son graduated with? And I was going to say, my son wants to be the manager, the GM of the Yankees. So, I mean.
I think it just makes me feel old because I remember when his kids were really young and watching.
I remember when he was at Frontier Field here and his kids were with him. And one was 12 and the other, and his daughter was like 11, I think. And remember that? Was that? Maybe they're a little bit older. Maybe they're like 14 and 13. But it was like when he was here for the Rochester Brawl. Remember that?
The ballpark brawl.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So it was.
Sorry, I got distracted. I went on Top Rope Tuesday after Mick was talking about it, and they have an amazing New Age Outlaws IKEA shirt that I need to get immediately.
222-1280 is the number to start. 1280 if you want to call. Oh, sorry. You can call us on your cell phone. Also, you can text us at 222-1280. I'm just reading some of these texts. We got Chris from Brighton who said,
wow, Nicole Bass.
Yeah, just... Who would win a bikini contest, Foley or Nicole Bass?
Are we talking Noelle Foley or Mick Foley?
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, it'd have to be Noelle, I believe. And No, because underneath that he wrote, who's hotter, Mick Foley or Nicole Bass? So,
oh boy.
I don't. Someone's got Nicole Bass on their mind because it's like the last four are all consisted of Nicole Bass questions. Because I like this. Chris also wrote, I'd rather go shopping for bras with my wife than watch Flo Rider. Yeah, I would.
Seriously, I'm trying to think of WWE music performances and if there was anything worse than Flo Rida on Raw. I can't think of it.
But he did only like a montage of songs. It was like three or four.
Think back to great ones like the DX Band, Ice-T, was it Saliva and Drowning Pool, yeah. That one wrestling.
I think Motley Crue. Remember, yeah. That's where Test came from. He was
Living Color
yeah.
was fantastic.
Oh, they were absolutely yeah. awesome.
The band that did the Wyatt Family song. Like everything has been infinitely better than Flo Rida.
The worst one actually was when Triple H and Stephanie, I think, were renewing their vows, and they were out of key. If you happen to remember that, or go back and watch that somehow, that was the worst one ever. But Flo Rida was absolutely the worst.
Flo Rida doesn't even... He's... I don't get that where you're, like, kind of lightly singing along to your own track.
Yeah.
Yet your voice is not even in, like, the main part of the song anyway. It's more the girl singing.
The girl, yeah.
Like, the focus should be like, oh, see this girl featuring Flo Rida. Like, she's doing all the work.
She is. You're right. We got a call from Brian from Rochester. What's up, Brian?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Doing good. How you doing, brother?
You know, by the way, Rob, I'm sorry if I gave away things to you on Facebook about Monday Night Raw. About the thing about Stephanie. Now, here's my take on this.
By the way, she looked terrible this past week. I can't believe you guys would pick her over some of the hot friggin' divas.
Yes.
No,
yes,
she looked terrible. Okay, yes, go ahead, Brian. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt.
That's okay, Rich. Well, here's my take on it. I mean, do you think it's right for, like, let's say a wrestler hits a fan, let's just say, and they don't know nothing about it. I think it's the same way with Stephanie because with her slapping Brie Bella, or it could be a fan, I think something should be done about that. I don't think that is right that Stephanie had to go after who was it, Brie Bella or is it Nikki? Which one is it?
Brie was the one on the outside.
Yeah, Nikki was in the ring.
It's so hard to tell them.
No, it isn't anymore. Go ahead.
There's two big things that stand out.
Yes, there is. Lots of personality. But go ahead, Brian.
Well, anyway, I just don't think that it was right that Stephanie did what she did. And I think that Mr. McMahon should do something. And I read somewhere that Nikki might turn heel.
Yeah, I've read that, too. Thanks for calling, Brian. I read that, too. You know what? Remember, didn't Brie Bella slap Stephanie first?
And wasn't it after she had already quit?
Yeah, so she wasn't even an employee.
Yeah,
so.
That kind of crossed my mind when Stephanie was being arrested. I actually thought it was a pretty good segment. The crowd was into
it was
cool.
Terrible. I mean, you heard screeching. Oh, it was terrible.
Are you talking about...
Name me five divas that are more attractive than Stephanie McMahon. Go.
Go.
Right off the top of my head.
Because there are some, but not... I don't know if
AJ,
you five.
Cameron.
Cameron! Stop right there. Just stop.
I think Cameron's hot. I'm sorry.
Are you going to say China next?
No. I can think of a lot.
Nicole Bass?
Trish Stratus.
Bertha
No, I'm talking current.
Oh, current ones? Okay. Well, I like Caitlyn, but she's not there anymore.
She's not current.
No. Okay, Eva Marie. Yes. She put me on the spot right now. Mm-hmm. They're all better looking than Stephanie McMahon.
Did you meet her and she turned you down or something? And this is like your revenge?
No, I just don't think she...
Naomi is definitely more attractive than a better wrestler than Cameron, too.
I was going to put Naomi in the list there, too, as well as...
Nope. Natalia, nope.
No, not Natalia. Okay, well, that's what I'll give you. Okay. We got to go to break.
Summer Rae, no.
Summer Rae, maybe. If her hair it wasn't like a helmet, it'd be okay. We got to go to break. You're listening to Pink Lincoln Sports, 1280 WHTK.
Hey, this is Rhino from TNA, and you're listening to The Pain Clinic on 1280 WHTK.
Welcome back to The Pain Clinic. I'm the Cashman with the Artiste and Mark Fantasia, and thank you, Mick Foley, for giving us time today. But He was fantastic, and he always is on the show. And if you folks want to see him, Tuesday, July 29th, he's at the Funny Bone in Syracuse, 7:30 show, and Sunday, August 3rd, he's in Buffalo. It's a 2 p.m. show at Helium Comedy Club. Just going to throw that out there one more time, and we'll stop arguing. There's five girls we can mention that work for the WWE, okay?
No.
I think some of them are a couple of production assistants, too.
Oh, Renee Young?
Okay, Renee Young. Renee Young is definitely on that list. I told Renee Young we all had crushes on her, and she thanked us, so... It was on Twitter.
Kona Crush, what?
No. Okay, let's do some real quick news before
Chronic,
we get out of here.
Chronic.
Did you notice, did you see the new form, the new tag team stable with Xavier Woods, Big E, and Kofi Kingston?
On the Nation of Domination.
Yeah, that's
I
it.
Like it.
Or it's just, or the Bobby Lashley thing going on over in TNA. You know, it's like, seems like, and that's what Bobby Lashley kind of came out and said, hey, we did that first. Daniel Bryan and Bria Bella were coming home Thursday to their house, and they found two men robbing it. Daniel Bryan chased one of the guys down and put him in a rear naked choke until the police came. It was kind of interesting that what came out after that is there was a lot of interviews with him, and some of the interviews said that he's got to have another surgery because he's not healing correctly, so it's going to be even longer before we see him back in the WWE.
And he still choked him out.
He still choked, even though he has half the strength in his right arm, he still choked him out.
I really wish Bree had caught the other guy. It would have just made for a great story.
It looks like Kenta Kobayashi is going to be able to keep his name, so he'll be Kenta in the WWE, which is pretty cool. That Scooby-Doo movie with the WWE wrestlers in it that came out like a year ago is going to be shown today at 6 p.m. on the Cartoon Network. So you can see the animated Vince McMahon and John Cena and stuff. Pretty cool. Did you guys see Randy Orton's Instagram picture of him being pulled over by the police this past week?
No, I did not.
He got pulled over for tinted windows, so he took a picture of him being pulled over. It's pretty cool. WWE is offering free T-shirts to anybody who signed up for the network at their live event. So if you haven't signed up yet, do it at a live event. You get a free T-shirt.
Cancel and then go sign up at a live event. No.
Of course, not much other news besides Sting. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much, Mick Foley, for coming on. Thank you guys for showing up. We'll see you next week. Hopefully we'll have Tommy Dreamer. He's going to be in town next week. We'll see you.